produces long-range forces that make it impossible in principle to pull either quarks or gluons apart from each other. It is now believed that if you try, for instance, to pull apart a meson, a particle composed of a quark and an antiquark, the force needed increases as the quark and antiquark are pulled farther apart, until eventually you have to put so much energy into the effort that there is enough energy available to create a new quark-antiquark pair. An antiquark then pops out of the vacuum and joins itself to the original quark, while a quark pops out of the vacuum and joins itself to the original antiquark. So that instead of having a free quark and antiquark, you simply have two quark-antiquark pairs, that is, two mesons. The metaphor has often been used that this is like trying to pull apart two ends of a piece of string. You can pull and pull, and eventually, if you put enough energy into the effort, the string breaks. But you do not find yourself with two isolated ends of the original piece of string. What you have are two pieces of string, each of which has two ends. The idea that quarks and gluons can in principle never be observed in isolation has become part of the accepted wisdom of modern elementary particle physics, but it does not stop us from describing neutrons and protons and mesons as composed of quarks. I cannot imagine anything that Ernst Mach would like less. The quark theory was only one step in a continuing process of reformulation of physical theory in terms that are more and more fundamental, and at the same time farther and farther from everyday experience. How can we hope to make a theory based on observables when no aspect of our experience, perhaps not even space and time, appears at the most fundamental level of our theories? It seems to me unlikely that the positivist attitude will be of much help in the future. Metaphysics and epistemology have at least been intended to play a constructive role in science. In recent years, science has come under attack from unfriendly commentators, joined under the banner of relativism. The philosophical relativists deny that claim of science to the discovery of objective truth. They see it as merely another social phenomenon, not fundamentally different from a fertility cult or a potlatch. Philosophical relativism stems in part from the discovery by philosophers and historians of science that there is a large subjective element in the process by which scientific ideas become accepted. We have seen here the role that aesthetic judgments play in the acceptance of new physical theories. This much is an old story to scientists, though philosophers and historians sometimes write as if we were merely naive about this. In his celebrated book, The Structure of Scientific Revolutions, Thomas Kuhn went a step further and argued that in scientific revolutions, the standards or paradigms by which scientists judge theories change.